Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
You're listening to the sounds of a dynasty.
For the first time in 6,944 days, there is a back-to-back Super Bowl champion, and it is the Kansas City Chiefs.
The official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome. This is Alexa. What is the purpose of the visit?
Jesus Christ.
Let's begin now.
You only hear that two more times. Until next year, or until next time we do Sunday shows, this is the final Sunday show of After Hours on a Sunday. Your boy can start tying them off on Saturday night again. Just so happens that patio weather's starting to come back around. How you doing? Just so happens that it's starting to become golf season again. How you doing?
Don't be sad that it's gone. Be happy that it happened.
There you go. And that that entrance or intro could not be more fitting for a show today with the week that we've had. Kansas City, I cannot overemphasize how proud of you I am, how much I love you, how much I care about this city. I know this has been a whirlwind of a week with emotions, thoughts, concerns. But like I said in my opening monologue at 9 o'clock, if you missed it, you can go back, download the Odyssey app, check out this show called After Hours, and you can hear it there. But we will prevail. We will stay strong. Because now we are one of those areas. We are one of those cities that now has the city and then the strong word underneath it. And like all those other places that have that, they stay strong and they come back even stronger. When you're broken into a million pieces, build it back up and build a stronger version of yourself. That's my advice. It's happened to us all, right? I'm someone who has lost their mother unexpectedly. Toughest time of my life. I've been through breakups. I've been through family problems. I've been through a lot. And in throughout those times, I have crushed into 1,000 pieces. But here we are, in the flesh, strong, stronger than ever. And I'm telling you right now, it won't be the last time that I'm broken down or that I'm broken into a million pieces. But I'll tell you what, every time I'll build myself back even stronger. I can promise you that. But you're listening to After Hours on a Sunday, Quentin and Dusty with you, the normal dynamic duo. And I want to continue the talk of what we were talking about on the other side. We ran out of time, so I want to bring this up because I think that this year's Super Bowl run, this, as we wrap up this football season on this program, I think this was the most impressive, and maybe I'm prisoner of the moment. I can accept that as well. But this just felt like it was sweeter. And I have many reasons why. And I believe Peter Schrager and Quentin when they say the first year, right, because of what was all on it, what was on the backs riding on that season, right? The year before had ended in heartbreak to, you know, the greatest to ever do it, and Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes didn't get to touch the football in overtime. Chiefs challenge overtime rules, and it doesn't happen. They're like, no. We've done it this way. We're going to keep doing it this way. We're sorry. And then the Chiefs went back the next year with a vengeance and won the whole thing in dramatic fashion, right? They were, you know, down every single game, came back and won in every single game, and the famous jet chip wasp play was developed. You lose the one to Tampa Bay, which in hindsight is probably one of the better things that had happened to this team. We talked about it earlier with the falling to a million pieces. The Chiefs were broken in that Super Bowl. What happened? They built themselves back up. They got broken again. And then they built themselves even stronger and won back-to-back. And the Philadelphia one, that Super Bowl, I think gets forgotten about a little bit because it's the middle. It's the meat of the sandwich as of right now. And that was a fun one, but that was more of the, oh, this is a rebuilding year, a sarcastic win, but it was still the number one offense, the MVP, yards per game, points per game, all of that. Everyone just kind of was like, well, this is our team. This is what we do. We lose somebody, we come back, we do our thing. We're in the playoffs. We're the number one seed. It's in, you know, but this one had a little bit different tones to it because we all know this year, from many of us, was a year full of doubt. This was the year where everybody said, all right, we know we need this, this, and this in order to win. This team is not going to be successful unless they have a blank. But they've got a defense. And man, if they didn't have that defense, this team would be so far out of it, it wouldn't be funny. And I thought this year was just a little bit sweeter because of the adversity, the downtimes, the unexplained, and everything that seemed to be what we could tell was self-inflicted. Drops, turnovers, giving points away where you didn't need to, trusting on your defense, telling yourself all you got to do is just score 20 and you'll win every game. And Christmas Day happens. To me, the most embarrassing loss of Patrick Mahomes' tenure here in Kansas City. I will stand on that hill. That's fine if you don't agree with me. But to me, it was the most embarrassing loss of the Kansas City Chiefs. It was at home against a divisional foe where they got to smoke cigars and listen to Chief Keef in the locker room. And Max Crosby had to go live. And it was annoying. And he hated it. But it was that moment that everything changed. There had to have been, or there was, some sort of in-house meeting where somebody became a red, you know what, Sunday, so I won't curse. Not even in the slightest. I'll say darn, but doggone. None of that on this Sunday. This is a clean, good Sunday. We go out strong on this Sunday. But after that Christmas Day game, there was no secret in my mind that something had happened. And once again, this team found itself leaning on the bulliness of the Cincinnati Bengals, right? Ja'Marr Chase comes out and talks a bunch of hogwash about nothing impresses him really on the defensive side. And the Chiefs come out. They win that game. They win their division. They have a whole other scene in the locker room. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride told us that on Arrowhead Pride Radio on Wednesday nights earlier this year. Said, I don't know, man. That locker room seemed different. The vibes were up. Yeah, I know they won their division again, but they've done that before. They beat Cincinnati. They've done that before. But this one just feels different. Like there's a new motive. And since that Cincinnati game, the team changed. The demeanor, the mannerisms, the attitude, the desire, the passion, the gameplay, everything changed. And it changed to a simplistic form. And that's what we talked about for the whole second half of this season. Simplify the offense. Go to what works. And they did it. And then the playoffs start. Right? You get people like Dan Orlovsky that say, oh, the five most dangerous quarterbacks in the playoffs right now, and his third one listed is Patrick Mahomes. Which to me is just dumb. He has Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I think he had Matt Stafford, and then I want to say he had Baker Mayfield on the list. In the same category where Patrick Mahomes was third on the list. He was closer to Baker than he was Lamar. And then what was also the conversation of the playoffs? Oh, they're going to play Miami again at home. And it's going to be negative 30 wind chill. That's going to be tough for anybody. And the Chiefs came out and threw it four consecutive times, and they beat the number one offense embarrassingly. Like, they embarrassed the number one offensive team of the year. Held them to under 200 total yards. Held them to just 1 of 12 on third down. Beat them, embarrassed them, sent them packing. And then it was, oh no, what's Mahomes going to do on the road? Well, he's going to go to Buffalo and he's going to win. And then what do? They coined the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes the villain, the hated team in the NFL, but a sports hate. one that we appreciate, one that we thrive for. Because if they hate you, it's because they ain't you. If they don't like you, it's because they can't beat you. And jealousy is just love disguised by hate. And that's what we saw moving forward through this postseason. And then it was, oh man, they beat Buffalo, the divisional round. Buffalo just can't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. We now know that. That's solidified, set it in stone, put it away. But now, oh, but wait, now they got to go play the number one seeded Baltimore Ravens in Maryland. Can they do it? I don't know. They got to play the MVP in Lamar Jackson, the number one rushing team. What is the Kansas City Chiefs' biggest Achilles heel in defense? Oh, they can't stop the run during the regular season. And then they beat Baltimore. And at the time when the Chiefs had the most embarrassing loss of their season, it happened during the regular season where you have tomorrow, you have the next week, you have time to make up for that. Baltimore had their most embarrassing and worst loss of the season in the most crucial point where they couldn't have it, the difference in two franchises. And the Chiefs won that game. They took Baltimore out of their norm. They turned them into a false prophet of what the Baltimore Ravens were. That was not the MVP in Lamar Jackson. Their wide receiver one in Zay Flowers, they drafted who they think is going to be the future of that team at wide receiver, which he probably could be and probably will be. Crucial fumble after flexing. Odell Beckham Jr., nowhere to be found. And now we realize why Brett Veach only offered $4 million. He may not have been the one, but I think he was. Number one seed, number two seed, number one offense, all on your side of the playoffs. Two of those games on the road where Mahomes had apparently never played before on the road. He had, just not in the playoffs. And then you played the number one seeded NFC team and the San Francisco 49ers where they somewhat control that game kind of until the third quarter. And then you went into overtime. And what makes it sweeter to me this year is the fact that you can see why the Chiefs are great. And you can use that word. You can use the word great, historic. And if people don't think you can, tell them to go look at that shot on the stage where there were four Super Bowl trophies standing on a table and three of them came in the last 6 years. They'll be very, very quiet very quickly. And yes, Christian McCaffrey had 160 total yards, 80 rushing, but he had his season low in rushing average at 3.6, Spags. Their big targets, Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, 8 catches, 86 yards total. That's sweet. And not only that, your hero and your quarterback and your franchise leader became that all-world, all-galaxy, out-of-this-world type of talent when it mattered the most. And the thing that made it more sweet and why the Chiefs are so great is because how far in advance they are prepared. Right? You've seen the audio at this point. It's been a week of San Fran winning the toss in overtime and the Chiefs just ecstatic in disbelief that San Francisco chose to get the ball. And then you hear the audio of Kyle Juszczyk who says, oh, I didn't know they got the ball even if we scored a touchdown. Excuse me? You do know why this rule changed, and that's the cherry on the top. That, to me, is why it's so much sweeter. Because not only did you beat the number one offense, the two seed on the road, the one seed on the road, and the other one seed in the Super Bowl as a team that was ruled down and out and not their year, but in a game in the overtime rules where one team wasn't prepared and one team didn't really truly understand the rules and didn't know them until they got on the board and they learned them the same time that Ice Spice and Taylor Swift understood the rules. But you won. That's the cherry on top. You were so far advanced in preparation than the other team that was there, who was the one seed, who was the favorite. And this goes to show you why things are sweeter this year, why things are better this year. Because not only that, you might not have been the most talented team, but you were the more prepared team, the more experienced team, and you are the team that reigned supreme and held the Lombardi Trophy up at the end of the year over everybody else. And folks, this was the year. This was the year that the NFL had a chance to tell the Chiefs, not this year. You're going to have many, many, many years after this because of what you have at quarterback and head coach and GM. But this is the year that the NFL gets a chance. This was the year that San Francisco had a chance to win a Super Bowl, probably the best they've had or will have. This was Baltimore's year to do it. This was the year for the Bills to finally knock off the Chiefs. This was Tyreek Hill's second chance at redemption. None of it happened. Not one of them happened. Why? Because this team is so far-fetched in preparation and so far-fetched in greatness that even in the down year or even in the year of doubt, they still reign supreme as the best team in football and continue their success because of how prepared they are, how talented they are, even if you don't see the all-world talent like you see on a roster in Miami or a roster in San Francisco or a roster in Baltimore. Because we can all sit back and say now, the real season, right? We all tell people, hey, the game ain't over until it says 0-0 on the board as long as 15 has a chance. But the game ain't over and the season ain't over until 15 is out of it all. That's a fact. But we now can sit back and relax after this year, myself included. I'll take some blame on this. Let's not start getting real solidified with our opinions until we at least get to December. Because that's when the real season starts for teams that have greatness and teams that are prepared like the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming on the other side, let's talk some Royals. I want to talk some Royals. We ride high with the Chiefs. We fall right into the high of the Royals because the season hasn't started yet. But I want to tell you why and what maybe we can expect and some of the changes that have been made to give you some sort of belief that it's not just a, well, we'll see. We'll talk about it on the other side. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. Now we're talking.
Into the distance, ribbon of black. Stretch to the point of no turning.
I think the first time I heard this song, I listened to it over like five straight times. I just saw like the hard riffs. Well, Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And the nod. Yeah, of course. Dusty, I didn't expect to hear you till Tuesday, the blind man. Well, unfortunately, I won't be here Tuesday either. Jury duty. From the 913, good morning. Love your show. We'll miss you till next season. Hey, I just watched those playoff games last night on the network. Still so sweet. And then Quentin gets a shout out. You guys play the best music on talk radio.
Oh, thanks.
That's not me. I don't play it. People always think that I'm picking the tunes. That's Q Dog or Quinton or just Q or Quinn. It's amazing how many nicknames you can get in radio.
Or the other guy.
Yeah, that was the other one. Yeah.
Hey, was deemed affectionately by the text line, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, Dusty and the other guy. No, but I'm back. I'm not going anywhere unless the government takes me, which they are Tuesday. Jury duty. I get to watch that sweet George Brett video all over again.
When you say that, you sound like a survivalist uncle. Unless the government comes, takes me.
I mean, that's the way it is. At least there is accuracy in that, right? It is the government. Because if you don't go to jury duty, if you get like pulled over for like a taillight out, you get arrested. You get a warrant out for your arrest if you don't go to jury duty.
I've never been called for jury duty.
Praise be.
But I know my dad has. This was like years ago. There was like a year period where he got like multiple, maybe like 2 years, he got multiple letters. Like, and it was different cases. He would go and they would reject him. And then he would get another letter. It'd be a different case. And
that's
he would
weird.
Go and they would reject him.
They're supposed to like pick you. And then you go through at least a 3 year cycle where you can't be picked. I don't know who your dad ticked off, but
I don't know.
The government. Nah, but it's fine. I've done it before.
You get your $5 lunch.
You have to go buy your own lunch. They pay you, but it's not great. And you still got to pay to park.
You got to pay to park?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Not only that, you got to go to downtown Kansas City and to be there by, you have to be at the courthouse by 8 a.m. Yeah. Brutal. Very brutal. But that's fine. Because everybody's got the day off tomorrow, and your boy will be on the golf course ready to go. And not only that, We'll be ready to go here real shortly to play a little baseball. And for those of you that know me, you know that baseball is my most passionate sport. I love it more than anything in the world. Grew up playing it, grew up watching it, will always watch it. I don't care if they're on Peacock, Max, Amazon, an app, your boy's going to get the Royals. And I know that's one thing that I do distance myself from other listeners, that people will say, well, if I can't watch them, I don't care. I'm just one of those suckers that I'm going to have to watch them. Because to me, on a Friday night, there's no better feeling in the world when it's 70 degrees outside and you have the capability, if you do have the luxury of doing this, to take your TV outside on the patio, have a few suds with your buds, and then be like, oh, let's just fire up the grill and have some dogs, burgers, and brats. In my opinion, that's great. And I think this year in baseball for the Kansas City Royals, I think you will see a little bit more of a promising season. Now, I don't know that to be fair. I don't know that, you know, out of nowhere. But this was J.J. Piccolo with Vern. And why I think the biggest part of this offseason was the fact and the belief that they signed their superstar and what that superstar, you've already seen the text line, $20, have Bobby Witt Jr. be the MVP. This was J.J. Piccolo on what Bobby Witt Jr. has just started doing.
He's incredibly talented, and the scary part is that I think he's just scratching the surface on what he's going to do.
Right, right.
I mean, even with the impressive numbers and the historic things he's done, yeah, it's not out of the question that he's a 50-50 guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not out of the question. We don't want him to feel like he has to watch in the way he's improved from one year to the next. And you know, last year, his second half of the year, a completely different player. There's no telling what he can do. And it's all over. It's offensive. It's defensive. It's pass. He can influence a winner or lost every single night from three different areas. And there's not a lot of players that can do that. So it's going to be a really fun player to watch for a lot of years to come. And I'm just glad we have him wearing that royal blue right now.
No kidding. I mean, that week, 2 week stretch he had.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
After the All-Star break, it seemed he even surprised himself of, yeah, I knew I was good, but man, I'm yeah. He'll never say it, but no. I'm a superstar.
You can see it in his body language. You can hear it in his voice.
Yep.
The just the maturation process that he's going through, he's realizing I'm pretty darn good.
Yep. Yep.
And you're right, he'll never say it. But he knows he's good. And even it's always been interesting to me, and I've been fortunate to be around some really good players, how other players are a little bit in awe of a player.
Yeah.
And I feel that not only from our clubhouse, but even from the other teams. You know, the comments that we get, even again, going back to talking to these free agents, mm-hmm. You know, tell me about Bobby. Like, they're enamored with Bobby. They see that he's a special talent.
And there's a reason why he got the payday. There's a reason why Bobby Witt Jr. is sticking around with his team. And some of you might have your theories, and that's fine. You're all entitled to your own opinion. But this is a team that I believe last season was an embarrassment. I don't think there's anybody that would disagree with that. I think last year's season with the Royals was one of those where it's like, well, you know, it's not what we thought it would be. We thought there'd be a little bit more promise, and there wasn't. And a lot of people in this offseason have the mentality of, well, unless they prove me something different in the offseason, unless this team actually spends money, I don't know if I can get ramped up for it. And now you have no excuse. Now, I'm not going to come out here and say they're going to win the Central. I'm not out here to say they're going to win, you know, 88 games. I don't know that. I can't tell the future. But I can tell you a few things that I feel promising about. As of right now, I think you found out who your AC or staff was last year in Cole Ragans. Now, there's going to be more video out. There's going to be more notes about Cole Ragans than there was in the last season. But again, you know who your guy is on the hill. Right? You know what your lineup is going to be. You know where people are going to be. And not only that, but all of these guys that have been on this team, the young ones, the Melendez, the Pasquantinos, even the Bobby Witts, they're now that more advanced in Major League Baseball. They now have that advantage. They play the game enough. They know what they need to do. They know how the game moves. Not only that, but I think there is a lot of eagerness and a lot of want to ride the success that is the Kansas City Chiefs. Right? The Chiefs have won this town. They have shown you what winning does. And this team is not far from the last time this team was a winning franchise. I mean, we can go back to 2016 if you really want to go that far back. I mean, 2015, World Series champions. 2014, runners-up. 2016, competitive year. 2017, eh. And then it kind of fell off. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 20, you know, 7 years or so. It's been a little rough. But in a season in which you're going into, before it even started, saying, well, I don't know what they're going to do. Stadium talk. I don't want to hear it. I want to see a team that puts a product on the field first. They did that. They've trimmed the fat. They've leaned it up a little bit. They signed their superstar. They've let you know that he's here. And now this team has said, you know what? In a gettable division, let's go try to take it. Let's go try to have fun with it. Let's put this product on the field and bring these fans back in the stands, and let's have a summer of baseball. Now, I'm not one of these guys, right? I'm not going to be one of those guys where I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I'm expecting to get to September with meaningful baseball. If you have those expectations, that is fine. You are more well entitled to your opinion, but I'm going to start small. Let's at least get to the end of July, and this team isn't 7 or 8, 9 games out of first place. I'm not saying that this team has to go wire to wire. I'm not saying that I want to see this team get all the way to the start of October and be like, all right, they're 2.5 games out. But I want to be able to watch this team, and I think I will be able to watch this team for most of the year play competitive baseball, taking multiple 2 out of 3 series, having a couple sweeps, seeing the superstar that you paid a ton of money to go be that MVP that's just slowly but surely scratching the surface, that can be that 50-50 guy. Take the high of the Super Bowl win and pour it right in, because you know that pitchers and catchers, they've already shown up. You're already seeing video of Royals players in the batting cages. Opening day will be just around the corner. In fact, Vern's Hot Stove is on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. I'm right behind Vern. We're now there. We went from players only to Hot Stove in a week. But I do feel like this season you should have an optimistic mind. I will be a little saddened if there are people out there that are like, yeah, no chance. Don't care. Can't watch him. Don't want to see him. Not going to pay to park to go watch him play base. I don't want to have those conversations start out, because they've done exactly what you've asked them to do. Spend money, make changes, sign their all-star. Bing, bing, bing. Check those boxes. They're all there. Support will be fun. I know I'll be there on opening day with a bunch of people from this radio station and the crew. We're going to do it again this year. And I'm more excited for this season because of the questions that we all had all got answered. Just like when the Chiefs defense had holes in it. Brett Veach, what are you going to do? Go address them all. Oh, this team needs an offensive receiver. What's Brett Veach going to do this offseason? Get a receiver. You're going to like it. They're going to continue to win. You're going to continue to support it. And the Chiefs are starting to do that. Answer the questions. Make moves. Get competitive and get the support back here. And the text line says from 86816, Dusty, do you remember that the Chiefs rode the wave of the Royals when they won the World Series, and that energized them to really start winning and get into the Super Bowl? Sure. Right? Sure. We can't be the laughing stock of football. We got to go change it. We got to get a good manager. We got to build some pieces. We got to make some good draft picks, sign a superstar, and success will follow. Because watching the Royals have a World Series parade was awesome. Let's have our time with that. But again, I think optimistic minds should be key going into this Royals season. From the 913, take the Royals over on wins. Add to win the Central for a two-leg parlay. That's sexy. That's a $10 spread that could get you very, 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 very successful with the money.
In one of the least competitive divisions in all of professional sports.
Yeah, you've got Minnesota, Cleveland, Chicago, and the Royals and Detroit. I don't think Detroit's that team this year. I don't think Chicago's that team again this year. And I'm not really sure what Cleveland's got, but I think they're going to be ready to play baseball like they are every single year.
The Royals have spent the 6th most money in free agency this year, mm-hmm. in guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows.
Yeah. They did exactly what you wanted. New ownership. Someone put a new stadium. Well, before you even have stadium talks, I want to talk about roster talks because this roster is a mess. We'll do it. Trust us. Coming up on the other side, Michael Jordan. He's pretty good, right? He turned 61 yesterday. There is, in fact, a new Michael Jordan, but he doesn't play basketball because he's not allowed to. You know the answer to that. I'm Dusty. That's Quentin. This is 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to After Hours. You snuck it in a little early today, Quentin, but you still snuck it in.
I would get one in for you.
Love it. For those of you that are NASCAR fans, the Daytona 500 postponed due to rain today, so it'll be on Monday. So on your first Sunday without football and your big chance at watching a big race, no, says Mother Nature. Someone from the 913 says, I wish people would talk more about the fact that Michael Jordan co-owns a NASCAR team, a successful team at that. Yeah. That's fair. From the 913, Dusty, this is G-Baby. What's up, bro? I thought you was not coming back until tomorrow. Something told me just to check and see if you were on 610. My dog is here. Did you have a good time on your little vacation? I did. I had to rest the vocal cords. It was weird, though, because there were times when I was, you know, sitting around my house around like 2:30, 3 o'clock. I'm like, oh, wait, oh, no, never mind. But I will say the staycation is underrated. That is a fact. Sometimes you just need to just shut things off, little R&R, and then you come back just ready to rock. And that's what today was. So I appreciate you all tuning in, and I'm glad that I'm back. Tomorrow, nobody is here. It is President's Day. K-State plays at 8. Their pregame starts at 7. So no after hours tomorrow night. And then Tuesday, I'll be out as well just because I have to do my civic duty and go to jury duty. Because if I don't, then there'll be a warrant out for my arrest, and I've never had one of those, and I don't want to have one start now. We're too old to be messing around with the law. And now I sound like my father. Can we all agree that the Chiefs have Michael Jordan? Or do I sound like a homer that's coated in red and yellow bias?
Let's be honest about that real quick.
Yeah.
I think because the Chiefs are so good,
mm-hmm.
anything that we say that's truthful about the Chiefs is just going to come off sounding like Homer.
Yeah.
And I think that we as a station just have to accept that.
And I'm okay with that. Because I could sit here for 3 hours, which I won't because that'll bore you, with just Mahomes stats. But we, on After Hours, like to make sports fun. That's why we call ourselves now the Crown Jewel. Or I call myself that because I didn't come up with that nickname. That was a female fan listener that came up with that nickname. And five of her friends that love this show and love me came up with that name. So the Crown Jewel is back, baby. We are here. And it feels great. Oh, it feels great. Crown Jewel back in the house. You dang right, 913. But there is too much of a similarity that the Chiefs have Michael Jordan. And like Quentin said, eventually when people just continuously call you something or think that you are something, you either spend the whole time arguing that you're not, or you throw your hands up in the air and you lean into it. And that's what I'm doing with the Michael Jordan take. Oh, Dusty, he's not Michael Jordan. He doesn't even wear the number 23. Okay. He doesn't even have 6 titles. He's not even sponsored by Nike. Okay. If that's your argument, you've already lost. Patrick Mahomes is the Michael Jordan of the NFL. And there's way too many traits to just go through. Right? But the number one trait that Michael Jordan had that Patrick Mahomes has is that there is an undoubtingly knowing, a for sure, 1,000% bulletproof, definitive statement that he is the best player in his sport. There is no one better, not one, Not one. Fact. Michael Jordan turned a franchise around that wasn't serious about winning at the ultimate level until he took over. I know Andy Reid and Alex Smith had been doing their thing and they would turn the thing around, but getting to a Super Bowl was never really one of those things where you're like, well, I don't know. And you lost playoff game after playoff game after playoff game. And Michael Jordan turned that Bulls franchise around because of his athleticness, his capability, his mental toughness, and his desire to win. And others around him gravitated towards that, and they found out how sweet it is to be dominant. And Patrick Mahomes has done that. Not only that, when you have a dominant franchise that wins a lot, you tend to have an anomaly of a player. That's just the way it goes, right? The Celtics had Bird. The Lakers had Magic and Kobe and Shaq. The Chiefs had Patrick Mahomes. The Bulls had Michael Jordan. The Warriors had Steph Curry. And Patrick Mahomes is even above a Steph Curry type. And the thing that's crazy about Patrick Mahomes and the Jordan comparison is that I'm not the only one that has said it. Former NFL players that have played with this man have said it. Kyle Long told his dad, Howie Long, that guy's Michael Jordan of football. It's what he said. The way that he did it. And the way that he has used his career in his youth, knocking out three titles at a young age, right? Jordan, the three at the start. And then the thing that really kind of made me smile and think, that's Michael Jordan right there. That at the time of his most treasurable season, I think Mahomes this season will be one that he'll always remember, his reaction at the end of the Super Bowl, laying on the sidelines in disbelief, hands on his head, we did it, I did it, this team did it, we're a dynasty. And Michael Jordan, we know the famous iconic photo in the locker room, laying down, hands on his head, almost in the same position. And it was like, that's the guy. There's no questions. That's the guy. Just like when Brady did it. It was like, as long as 12 in New England are going, you got to watch out. And New England and Tom Brady went a full decade without winning a Super Bowl. I don't think you'll see that with the Kansas City Chiefs because this quarterback's a little bit more special talent-wise. And in a year where everybody said, I don't know. Seems like a down year. Patrick Mahomes said, hold my Coors Light. I'm going to go get 30 more because I'm going to need them for the run that we have in the playoffs and after the playoffs and what we celebrate. And they do have similar sort of iconic features, right? The headband, the armband, the tongue. The killer mentality when it needed most, right? Jordan against the Jazz on Bryant Russell, swish. The flu game. Patrick Mahomes, the ankle game in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes has now solidified himself as the greatest in his sport and maybe one of the best in all of the sports. Michael Jordan, when he was doing it, was the greatest in his sport and was possibly the greatest athlete at his time in that sport. So when you talk about Tiger, Michael, Tom, Joe, Peyton, you now enter that name that is Patrick Mahomes. Call me a biased homer. I don't care. I'll lean into it because the stats and the history so far don't doubt it. That's three Super Bowls in his 6 years. He's only lost in the playoffs in overtime twice or in a Super Bowl. He has three losses and 14 wins in the playoffs. That's disgusting. And he surpassed many, 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 many quarterbacks from the Hall of Fame with multiple Super Bowl championships as well. Probably safe. The third best quarterback of all time, if you want to still count Joe Montana ahead because he's got four rings. But we know that's getting eclipsed very shortly, at least if it's not already. That's Quentin. I'm Dusty. Coming up on the other side, something needs to be retired when it comes to All-Star games. I'll explain next as we get ready for the NBA All-Star game tonight. But something's got to go or you got to change it up drastically. Maybe not just in the NBA, but all the All-Star sports needs tinkering with. That's Quentin. I'm Dusty again one more time. This is After Hours on Sunday. I just realized that it was a year ago today that my life changed. Not like in a serious note, kind of. A year ago today, my father and I went and saw Bruce Springsteen live at T-Mobile. A year ago today. You know how you get those notifications, like memories from a year ago today?
Yeah.
I just got one. And it's a picture of me and my father taking a photo before the concert started. A night that will forever change my life. And I know people can be like, oh, that's just, you know, nonsense. A concert can't. Yeah, it can. Because I would say that the moment that that night was one of those, like, oh, my gosh, moments was when he played Born to Run. And I looked over at my dad and you'd have thought that, like, he just saw the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. And I'll never forget that, because that was one of those things where I'd always wanted to see the Boss, never got to see the Boss, missed out a couple of times. And then this time I was like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to empty out the quarter jar. I'm going to pawn off, like, all my belongings just so I can get tickets, because I know they're going to be expensive. I didn't do all that. That's a little unnecessary and dramatic, but that's who I am. And my dad and I had one hell of a time.
I'm about to get some of those memories because around, you know, a little thing called COVID happened a few years ago. And because of that, me and my roommates did some shenanigans.
Oh, yeah?
And so all those went on our Snapchat group chat. And and between now and the next, I don't know, 60 days, we're going to get like back to back. Hey, remember when this was posted? Remember when this was posted? And it's going to be great.
Yeah, those are always interesting. I saw one the other day. It was like, from then to now, and it was a picture of me and my ex, and then it had like a picture of a question mark that you're supposed to do this like sort of like crossover. I was like, oh, well, that's kind of tough. I was like, didn't expect that, Facebook. But we move on. But yeah, I can't believe it's been a year. February 18th. That's wild. How crazy a year goes by. Maybe I'm just like in my feels, but like that's one of the first ones where it's like, wow, it's already been a year? Really? Like we're already there? I feel like we're going to blink our eyes, Quentin. It's going to be July 4th. You know? I feel like once we get past this Sunday show, we're going to be talking baseball. Like a lot. Like you can hear Vern every Thursday at 6 o'clock, Vern's Hot Stove. Do you watch any of the NBA All-Star shenanigans? Speaking of shenanigans,
I've seen the like 3-point challenge and the like awful court that they have.
Yeah, I didn't understand that whatsoever. But I do believe that they need to get rid of the dunk competition. And I know this has kind of been one of those viral things that's been going around since last night. I kind of watched it off and on. But I think this is, we've gotten to a point where, you know, there's really a whole lot, not a lot of people watch SportsCenter anymore, right? Because you can get all the highlights and clips immediately on your phone, go to social media network, it's there. You don't have to wait until, you know, 10 o'clock to see the highlights. Just like I think in the dunk competition, we've ran out of ideas. We've gotten so unbelievably stale. It's, to give it an analogy of food, it's a rice cake. Nobody likes rice cakes. Not even if you put peanut butter on it. It's not good. And I think that's the problem that we have with All-Star Weekends is that it used to be, at least in my opinion, that was the pre-juice to the cocktail, right? Like, you loved watching Home Run Derby. You loved watching the three-point competition. You loved watching the dunk competition. And it seems that they have tinkered with some stuff, right? Home Run Derby's different. It's no longer the drawn out, like they can take pitches. It's now, it's just, you got a 2-minute window to hit as many home runs as you can. If you hit one at least 450 feet, you get 30 extra seconds. They've tinkered with it. I still believe they need to take everybody off the field and give the batter a metal bat with a minute left. Now that we have most stadiums, or at least you could probably doctor stadiums up for an All-Star event where you could put nets all the way down the foul poles, you've gotten rid of that. Now, there will still be some rocket missiles that go out into the left field and right field, so that's a little dangerous. But at least if you take all the kids and people off the field, then it's like, hey, Vlad Guerrero Jr., here's a metal bat for the final minute. Let's see what happens. Because I'm definitely a prisoner of the moment of that. I saw somebody get a metal bat on like a baseball field by themselves just taking BP, and it was insane. In fact, I think it was Vlad Guerrero Jr. I mean, it was like a white dot that just vanished, like a supernova. Just like, I believe a supernova is a star that explodes.
Yeah.
You ever heard of a champagne supernova?
No.
Great song. Band's no longer together. But that's my Oasis. Okay, that was really terrible. I'm very sorry. But again, the dunk competition. No stars do it. There's no more originality to it. The three-point competition last night with, like, Steph and the lady, I thought that was fun. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see if they get Caitlin Clark involved next year. Because you know she's going to be, like, an all-star in the WNBA. Like, we know that. You can already see it. She'll have a multiple championship career. I promise you that. I'll go on record as February 18, 2024, saying that Caitlin Clark will win multiple WNBA championships. But with the all-star festivities, tinker with it. Change it up. Because things die quickly in sports when it comes to the originality of things, and that was one of them. That dunk competition was weak. Nobody wants to do it anymore. Throw maybe an incentive on there that's nice. Treat it as something different than it was. But again, we're running out of ideas. We're running out of players to do it. Do you even know who won the dunk competition last night?
Well, no, but in fairness, I also don't follow basketball that well. So okay. If it wasn't like Steph Curry or LeBron, then I probably wouldn't know who.
And they ain't ever going to do it. Never going to do it.
Well, the problem with it is that, you know, in NFL, they've started to do these skills competitions, right? Which is more interesting than just playing flag football. And basketball, the problem is outside of dunk and three-point, what other skills competition can you do?
I don't know.
Because, like, in hockey, the hockey ones...
You could
really
have a three-on-three street ball game.
Because the hockey, they've got, like, you got to hit the clay pigeons and the net. And the hockey one's cool.
Yeah, because they tinkered with it, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, so then, I just don't know, with basketball, what else can you do? What other skill competitions are there?
Beer pong. But with basketball,
there you go.
You know, get the big drums out. But yeah, it ain't fun anymore. Coming up, a little bit of fun. I haven't been on the show for a week, so I want to bring back a segment that we do during the week. It'll be the out of left field question. This is After Hours. That's Quentin. I'm Dusty. We only got 59 minutes left, but 913-586-7610. That is the number. The out of left field question on a Sunday for you people to bring smiles to your faces. Maybe. The out of left field question, what is the most unattractive physical quality someone can have? Ooh, that's going to be tough on a nice Sunday where we try to feel good on a Sunday, a slightly above average Sunday. What is the most unattractive physical quality someone can have? 913-586-7610. That is the out of left field question. It comes back after this. You're listening to After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.